Get some rest. Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2014, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Hey everyone, Happy New Year. We're all back from our winter holiday, and we're raring to go. And I figure there's no better way to kick off the new year than with a chat with a national treasure, especially for those of us on the sexual fringe. Yes, sirree, this here is the Sex Education Series, which brings you conversations with some of the most renowned talent in the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative lifestyles. Today, we travel to San Francisco to meet the incomparable Cléo Dubois. Cléo describes herself as a BDSM coach, ritualist, and personal trainer in the kinky arts. She is a woman of extraordinary wisdom, and I am pleased to have this international celebrity on my show to kick off the new year. And wait till you get a load of her very sexy French accent. I guarantee she will make you swoon. Cléo invites you to visit her world at her website, cleodubois.com. Be sure to check out the Academy of SM Arts, the educational resource she founded at sm-arts.com. Don't miss her kick-ass blog at cleodubois.wordpress.com, and you will find her on Facebook, Twitter, and she even has her own YouTube channel. For your convenience, I've compiled all of these links in today's podcast posting. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this pervy series, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yesiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy either. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did. And remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these shows. How great is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Cléo, and thank you for taking this time to chat with us. We're especially grateful to have such an accomplished kinkster as yourself give us the sex education that we so richly deserve. And now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the really nice people?
Yes, I'd like to say hello to all the very nice people and all of the very kinky nice people.
Right.
The
right.
Not so nice people who want to get nicer for 2014. Hello.
Good, because, you know, this is the Sex Education Series, so there's bound to be a load of big fat perverts skulking around out there. And I include myself in that category, don't you know?
Oh, good. I like that. So you probably have some very interesting questions for me.
I think so. But before we begin in earnest, I want to take a moment to shout out to our mutual friend, Eve Menex, and I want to thank her for hooking you and I up. Eve is such a joy and fiercely kind, and I know that you love her too, right?
Absolutely, and she did hook us up indeed. So I just sent her an email telling her I hope she is having a lovely time.
Good. So, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I'm a little bit intimidated sitting in your illustrious company. You are such an accomplished woman and as sage a person as I've ever met. You are a national treasure, especially for those of us on the sexual fringe.
Let me blush, okay? Keep going.
More of that. Okay, so I can tell you that I'm totally at a loss for where to begin our conversation. There is so much going on in your life. So when that happens, I generally go to my guest's webpage, and yours is cleodubois.com, and I start looking around for information, mostly about what my guest writes about themselves. And this is what you wrote about yourself. Okay. I am a BDSM coach, ritualist, and a personal trainer in the kinky arts. I know consensual erotic power play to be a valid path to self-discovery, intimacy, and healing for those who are called to explore their kinky desires. I think that puts everything that I want to talk to you about today in a nutshell, because many people don't really understand, particularly folks who have never experienced any kind of, you know, kinky or BDSM play. They don't really understand how liberating and how enriching this can be. And so I'm so glad that you are taking this opportunity to tell us that this is a special opportunity.
It is a special opportunity, and it can be challenging. And the reason why I wrote this description of my current work, which also I am a player, okay, I'm not just an educator. I actually do practice BDSM in my life, and actually not only as a top or as a dominant, that's in my public life and my community life, but in my private life, I also like to be on the other side of the whip, so to speak. So, but this can be challenging. It is really an exploration of who you are, top or bottom, and also of the intimacy that you can develop through exploring the different side of your personality and opening the door to kinky desire in, you know, in clear communication, as clear as you can make it. So, yes.
You know, there's lots of people, probably some of them are in our audience, who are afraid of their kinky desires. They have them, they know that they're there, but they're afraid. They're afraid of either acknowledging them themselves, or they're afraid to tell their partner or partners about them. Any thoughts about that?
Well, that is absolutely true. And, you know, for the last 15 years, I've been working on doing my best to help people come out to their partner. You know,
good.
Also coming out. Like there is a gay coming out or queer coming out.
Yes.
There is also a kinky desire or kink coming out from people who want to bottom and people want a top. And some people still believe in the bad propaganda that BDSM is sick and BDSM is non-consensual, which is, you know, it is not to say that there is not abuse in the BDSM community, because unfortunately there's abuse, you know, everywhere, like Rips on here and then. But in good play, it is not an abusive situation. I'd like to add that most people are afraid to hurt their partner.
Yeah.
This is like the first thing they tell me is, I love him, I love her, or, you know, I'm into him, I'm into her, or I want to play with him, I want to play with her, but I'm afraid to hurt them.
Right.
And this is really not about hurting people, even not about hurting masochists.
Yes.
It really doesn't have anything to do with hurting people. But, you know, the image, because, you know, kink and S&M as being, you know, used for advertisement, all this, it's all
so
about
true.
Dark and bitchy and dark. And no, it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
It's really about consent, negotiation, and going on a journey with your partner or partners.
Right.
But I do understand that we have to keep on working on that. It was pathologized for a really long time.
Yes.
It is not right now. It is not. There's been some revision here, as I'm sure you know about that book, the DSM-5, right?
Yes.
There's been some revision in that. It's not pathological unless you know, you do non-consensual behavior with children and things like that. So we are moving along, and there is still a lot of negative propaganda out there. So we are doing the best we can in community, you know, all over, to help the situation get clearer so that people want to be bottom, slave, subservient, French maids, dominant, sadistic, all of these things, do ritual, because, you know, there's also a big sense of ritual that's added on to this sort of dominant submission play a role that people assume. So, you know, we do the best we can to keep moving it along.
I want to just let our audience in on that private joke that we had. I told you that in preparation for my interview with you today, I got my French maid's outfit on, and so there, that's why I giggled before. Yes, sir.
I think you're kidding me. You're a little bit of a bear, I think. I'm looking at your photo. Very cute. Okay. Well, so, teach you how to pronounce it properly.
Right.
Okay.
So I understand that you prefer the moniker Domina to all the other available titles that dominant women in BDSM and power play contexts get to choose for themselves. Could you enlighten us as to why you chose that designation, and perhaps why some of the other ones don't necessarily fit you?
Well, because the word dominatrix has been really used in porn.
Oh, it's true.
I really don't choose. You know, just like porn doesn't really resemble the kind of sex that people like to have because it's uncomfortable and there's white light and all that. Well, the same with the term dominatrix. It's that term has been too much used in porn. And, you know, I'm French, so the word domina is what's used in Europe. Yes. And I only really like to be referred to as a domina sometime. I actually don't even like to be referred to as a mistress. When I play, I like people to call me madame. Okay?
Ah.
So that's me. Probably because the word mistress in French is the other woman.
Yes.
And I really don't want to be the other woman.
Right.
So I always had, in play, people call me madame. And then when not in play, call me Cleo. But, you know, as I've been continuing my exploration of those who we are, those of us who choose to explore, there is all kind of terms that have to do with archetype, what you raise, what the person resonate with archetypally. Like, if I was a queen, and I certainly don't want to be calling myself Queen Cleo, please give me a break. But if I was a queen, I would not be a sitting queen because being served is not really my style, although I really like to receive some service that pleases me.
Mm-hmm.
I am more like the queen on the chariot that go get what I want.
Right. Oh, good for you. That's a beautiful imagery.
So, you know, and sometimes I'm the tormentress.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime with the if I do interrogation scene, which I love to do because I can put humor into it, and I am the interrogator or the tyrant. But those are little pieces of energy. And when we teach women, like we're going to have a class in January, to step into their dominant archetype, it has the reason why I like to emphasize that work. Is that playing with BDSM is not like coping a role. It's not as being into, you know, theater and learning some stuff that is not you. It's really about letting blossom pieces of you that are erotic, that are inside, and finding people who resonate with this in a consensual way.
Right. So are you saying then that somebody who doesn't have this inside them can't really, you know, express something that they don't have?
Well, the thing is, you know, we all relationships that we have are all power relationships.
Oh, it's so true. Good
for
you.
All of them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you might want to develop certain part of your character, or you might be a friend and not want to do it. Let me give an example, for instance. There are a lot of people, and that really didn't start with the gay men community. It started more with women that want to be daddy's girl.
Right.
They want, so now these are women, okay, anywhere from, you know, 21 to 55 or whatever. They want to be daddy's girl. That is a part of them that they want to embrace in a different way than when they were a little kid being daddy's girl. Right. Some of these women, for instance, who are more queer than straight, might want to be daddy's girl to another woman,
right,
and call the other woman the top daddy.
Right.
So all of this stuff, all of these possibilities, they are endless. And it has to do with really not maybe reinventing yourself, but embracing a part of yourself again that maybe was hurt, was misunderstood, was abused,
right,
and to do it on your own terms.
Interesting. How interesting.
So that, I've recently run into a lot of women who want to be daddy's girl,
uh-huh,
or were daddy's girl, and the daddies are a different gender from
right,
straight male to lesbian to trans people,
right,
of all kinds.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's playing along, not thinking that everything is black and white, but more thinking that there are so many nuances, and what is it inside yourself that you crave, that you would like to express, that is tied in with your either your erotic fantasy or just simply your need and your willingness to be more alive, to have more pleasure.
Right.
And pleasure sometimes can look like pain.
Oh,
like,
it's,
you know,
so true. But, you know, people have extreme images in their, often they have extreme images in their mind's eye when we talk about BDSM or power play and that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, as you just suggested, is that, you know, like if I'm busy writing an article or somebody's really busy, you know, trying to get something done and their lover comes up and nuzzles their neck, that's annoying. That's, you know, but in the other situation, that's really erotic. So it's contextual that what we're talking about here. I mean, you know, somebody slapping on you on the ass while, you know, in the heat of passion is delightful. And somebody doing that, you know, while you're waiting for the bus, not so much.
Is aggressive, non-welcome behavior.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So, you know, I wanted to add on the pain factor that there is still this really big misunderstanding about SM being really about pain.
Mm-hmm.
It really is about intensity and the level of intensity that
right,
a person want, desire, or can absorb, or want to explore, to open up. I will give you my own personal example. When I love to flog people. And flogging is using whips, cat of nine tail, they used to be called.
Yes.
Not single tail, not, you know, bull whip, but cat of nine tail with mini tail. On either the back or the ass. When you flog on the back of a person, it's the back of their heart. So it opens up their energy. It's at the level of their heart. So I love it. To me, it's a dance of energy. When I send my energy out, it's received. It's received. I see the person absorb it, and I have the right timing to send the next blow. When I'm the one receiving the flogger, same thing. It's
right,
completely not about pain.
Right.
It's about, whoa, energy coming to me. Wow, I feel it, absorb it, and I send it back. It's kind of like standing at the edge of the beach, and you see the water coming in, crashing in, and then receding and coming in, crashing in, then receding. And it's really a journey of energy. So the whole thing about pain and pleasure, I like to kind of, you know, put a little light on that. It's really about intensity, energy, ritual, and communication.
Right.
That's what it's about.
And so it could be almost anything. I mean, it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be suggested, it could be actual. All of those things, it seems to me, is part of this, and you get to decide as the player.
You get to negotiate and see what works and what doesn't work. For instance, there are some people who really don't like to play with resistance player, a.k.a. brat, bratty bottoms,
mm-hmm,
people who put up resistance. I love playing with people who put up resistance, providing it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I might put them in bondage so that they cannot, you know, fight back with me. They can struggle all they want and say no, no, no. And then I have a safe word.
Yes.
And the safe word is not no, no, no. It's yellow, slow down, or red, stop. But I like the provocation a little bit. I like the smartassness. I like the the exchange of ironical thing. I don't like necessarily a submissive to just be too submissive. No. Or, you know, Matt. I don't like that.
Yes.
So,
because there's no challenge in that, it doesn't seem to me.
Well, it's not quite the challenge, but it's more the energy. I like to feel the energy flow between people. Get built, get, you know, recede a little bit, get built some more. Same with the sensation. You know, I like intense sensation. I like to provide them safely. I have to receive them. I'm not that much into the whole 24/7 DS dynamic.
Interesting.
I know people who are, and who are really well respected in the community. Some really wonderful men, gay men, some wonderful women who, like Minax, very much is more of a DS player than I am, Eve Minax. But I also see that there is an exploration there that some people want to get into. Maybe it's helping their submissive partner grow, develop, be more empowered. Maybe it's giving them containment and a structure so that they develop bigger. You know, it's a little bit the same as a daddy boy or daddy girl or mommy girl dynamic. You provide a container and you provide training and you have, you know, a certain rule that you agree on together. There is a beauty in that, but the whole BDSM world is very big. That's what we call, you know, the vanilla. But look at how many flavors of ice cream there is. You know, or even frozen yogurt, right? There are so many flavors. Well, that's a little bit like that in the old BDSM. There is a vanilla. No, 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 we're only doing vanilla. And then there is all the flavor. And, you know, I think it's changing.
A lot of
young people, because unfortunately, or fortunately, but really, I am not as young as I would like to be. A lot of young people are starting to really understand that we don't need to have these serious little boxes. That we can, you know, expand out of them and see what works for us.
Yeah. And, you know, some of our partners or, you know, might be into this and we can enjoy this kind of repartee with one partner and not another. And some of this is genital sexuality and some of it is not. And I mean, there's so many layers that one can, you know, look at and play with, and the accent on play, of course, to see that, you know, this is not a threatening kind of thing at all to even somebody who happens to be in a monogamous sexual relationship.
And yet some people get threatened because some people's programming is so strong. That, you know, I'm marrying you and you're the one and only and you provide for all my need.
Right.
Well, you know, we all pretty much learned that it's not really going to work that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, we step into, you know, creating our own extended family.
Yes.
And, you know, the word polyamory has come up very big now, but I always had people that I played with. Sometimes, you know, I'm guessing people call each other sometimes fuck buddy, even though what they might do is not fucking.
Yeah.
but they might do also erotic behavior. But it is still very threatening to some people to expand out because, you know, you either embrace something and there will be, you know, rocks on the road and you'll stumble and fall and then you get up or you're afraid. And if you're in a place of fear, and you're in a place of fear. But fortunately, we can all be grown up enough to have, you know, negotiation, communication, clarity, and all of this thing. And, you know, that's what BDSM taught me. I mean, I wasn't raised like this. I was raised in a very Catholic, I was very oppressed by my father and my mother. And I was raised to completely have a different life that I have, you know, build a family, be married to just one guy, didn't work for me. I came in here. Okay. My sister said it worked for them.
Yes.
Well, at least they say it worked for them.
Right.
And I hope it worked for them. But people are threatened, and the path to sexual exploration is challenging. It requires honesty.
Right.
And that's really sometimes difficult for people. See, I was never one to cheat. I don't like the idea of cheating.
Oh, no, yes, absolutely.
I like the idea of being more clear. So negotiation, okay, so you want to play with so-and-so? Well, I need to know who that so-and-so is. Can I meet this person? Mm-hmm. And then boundary, you know, there's a lot of people who have boundary. Like, you can do, you know, all this kind of play, but not genital sex. Or you can do, you know, there is even some master I know. Now, that's not a straight person, that's a gay man, who tell his slave they can have all the sex they want, but they can only submit to him.
Ah, interesting.
Ah, you see, that's a totally different thing.
You know, and I use metaphor of food when I'm working with couples that are stuck in this kind of mindset that, you know, it only means one and, you know, you have to provide. I said, you know, you have lunch with your friends. You enjoy lots of different meals, you know, inside of your house and out, you know, at restaurants and things like that. We have this wonderful broad way of interacting with humans over food, but when it comes to sexuality and or pleasure, sometimes we close down, and that just seems really unfortunate to me.
Well, you know, that's a Judeo-Christian ethic. What can I say?
It's true enough. Right.
But, you know, to me, you know, because I see a spirituality in those explorations, yes, which I really do, I think we need a ritual. More and more of us are glued to our computer and our devices and our, you know, everything electronic. And we don't want to lose the human touch.
Right.
And there is so much there that can be explored. And in BDSM, there is a sense of ritual. There is, you know, the negotiation or the ongoing negotiation, the paying attention to the other person, mm-hmm, back and forth. If you're into service, to focus on the service and find joy. You know, I had a foot washing / worship, foot washing / worship ritual at the last intensive I led, and it was so beautiful. The men were first washing the feet of the woman. It was all very organized, very clean, and then they had the option if the woman wanted to receive worship, and there was all of that pleasure with either worship with hands, as in, you know, rubbing and caressing, and also worship with mouth on toes,
right,
and feet.
Right.
And it was really, there was a calm and a beauty to just that ritual, which, you know, if you really think of it, washing your feet, you do. You wash your feet, I wash my feet, we wash, no, this is something we do every day, we wash our feet.
Right.
But to put that activity in a ritual mode, mm-hmm, completely change it.
Right.
So, in BDSM, we tend to ritualize, to make a special container for the interaction that we're having, and to be more embodied and more focused. And in a way, you know, there's some tantra, there's a big tantra movement in the U.S., you know, that's developed little by little. And there is, you know, a sense of bringing some of that tantric energy, of that energy of, hey, our body are, you know, than what we have to play, and the play is sacred.
Right.
And for me, BDSM has really helped me heal, because I survived a lot of abuse in my childhood and teenage. And to when I stepped into the whole very small SM community that was in San Francisco, I felt safe.
Yes, interesting.
I felt the opposite.
Right.
The opposite of scared. I felt,
yes,
oh, I have my say. I can set my limit.
Right.
I can speak about what I'm willing to try and not willing to try.
Right.
And then, you know, I try bottoming first. And I was very, very lucky to be in a place where I was accepted as a woman by, you know, some men that were not necessarily straight. In fact, they were gay. And then also I would bottom to them. And then I moved into the women's community. And so what was in there for me, I learned a lot. I had a wonderful mentor. And then I went, oh, I want a top too. I want a top man. I want a top great man. And then I did it for years and years. And now I'm into sharing what I've learned from this huge tapestry of you know, desire. And I am lucky because I'm in San Francisco, so I had, you know, access to a lot of really wonderful people who pretty much were the building block of the scene in the West Coast.
You have danced around this topic quite a bit in the conversation that we've had so far, and many people that have been on this show before you have spoken in terms of BDSM as being both recreational and cathartic. And is there anything more that you want to elaborate on that? We can see the playfulness, the recreational part.
Well, I would say, how real can I get on your show? Really real? Really real? Like, can I really talk about things that a lot of people don't understand, like fisting?
Yes.
Well, I was initiated into fisting, me fisting men, and them fisting me in the early 80s, before a lot of people were snatched out of their life by AIDS. And that's where I discovered what I call even more than catharsis, ecstasy.
No kidding. I discovered
that place where I could really say, I'm tuned in. I just hope I'm not freaking out your listener. I'm tuned in to that bigger energy that is spirit.
Right.
With a person that I trust and inside me.
Yes.
And the trust and the energy exchange that we have is big. It's spirit. And when I learned to fist men, which weren't very many people that I really felt well, wanted to get closer to, that magic happened again. So it's not just catharsis, it's going at core, like the biggest orgasm.
Wow.
The biggest orgasm just completely blow you out of your ego, like brrr. And, you know, having somebody dance on your hand, of course, you know, there is all kind of thing that you have to know to get yourself involved in this practice. But it's magical, it's spiritual, it's catharsis, it's fun, it's all of this together.
Which makes it ecstasy.
That's it.
Right. Listen, I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is up for today. I have just begun with you, madam. Madame.
You cannot stop on the subject like that.
If you could grant me just one wish, and that was that you come back and join us next week for more conversation along this line, I would be enormously grateful.
I must.
Definitely
must. I certainly would. At the beginning of the road, if not even near the middle of the road. So absolutely. Thank you for inviting me again.
Good.
I'm waiting.
Before we go, though, would you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit, tell us what we can find there? I know you have several websites, and all of the your website addresses, as well as your Facebook and Twitter account and YouTube account, will all be in today's podcast posting. So just tell us a little something what we can find on your sites.
Sure. So if you want coaching, Skype, if you are not in the San Francisco area, consultation, coming out advice, or starting again if something happened that made you stop.
Cool.
If you want any sort of that sort of one-on-one advice, including guided play in my dungeon in the San Francisco Bay Area, that's on my Cléo Dubois website.
Okay.
The address is www.cleodubois.com.
Good.
Now, if you are willing to learn in small group of 8 or 9 people, with me providing volunteer bottom, and you want to step into dominance, May you be a man, a woman, a trans person, or somebody who wants to do professional dominance. My older website has been around for a long time, is www.sm, like sadomasochism, sm-art, A like Arthur, R like Tom, T like Teresa, and S like sadistic.com. So that's for weekend intensive training, which I do with Evening Acts. And then, if you'd like to hear about who mentored me, and also current story, and see a bunch of pictures, I have a blog, and that's www.cleodubois.wordpress.com. So don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you.
And in the meantime, between now and next week, we are going to be investigating you very closely.
Oh la la. You better be afraid. Just kidding.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Be well, and see you next week.
Thank you. I'll be looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Pretty amazing show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week at this same time for part two of my chat with Cleo Dubois and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or one of the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stock room, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site, and remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. How great is that? Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Well, that's even better. Over and out.